आकाशरण्यश्च यथा योषिनराशिभिः यशो विधानितास्वानाम् धोष्यन्तीरिव यज्वनाम्। This child will be a munificent donor of charity and protector of the surrendered. Like the famous King Shibi of the Ushanara country, and he will expand the name and fame of his family like Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A king becomes famous by his acts of charity, performances of yajñas, protection of the surrendered, etc. A kshatriya king is proud to give protection to the surrendered souls. This attitude of a king is called Ishwara Bhava, or factual power to give protection in a righteous cause. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord instructs living beings to surrender unto Him, and He promises all protection. The Lord is all-powerful and true to His word, and therefore He never fails to give protection to His different devotees. The king, being the representative of the Lord, must possess this attitude by giving protection to the surrendered souls at all risk. Maharaj Shibi, the king of Ushinara, was an intimate friend of Maharaj Yayati, who was able to reach the heavenly planets along with Maharaj Shibi. Maharaj Shibi was aware of the heavenly planet where he was to be transferred after his death, and the description of this heavenly planet is given in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva. Maharaj Shibi was so charitably disposed that he wanted to give over his acquired position in the heavenly kingdom to Yayati, but he did not accept it. Yayati went to the heavenly planet along with great rishis like Ashtaka and others. On inquiry from the rishis, Yayati gave an account of Shibi's pious acts when all of them were on the path to heaven. He has become a member of the assembly of Yamaraj, who has become his worshipful deity. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, the worshipper of the demigod goes to the planets of the demigods, yanti deva vritha devan. So, Maharaj Shibi has become an associate of the great Vaishnav authority, Yamaraj, in that particular planet. While he was on the earth, he became very famous as a protector of surrendered souls and a donor of charities. The King of Heaven once took the shape of a pigeon hunter bird, eagle, and Agni, the fire god, took the shape of a pigeon. The pigeon, while being chased by the eagle, took shelter on the lap of Maharaj Shibi, and the hunter eagle wanted the pigeon back from the king. The king wanted to give it some other meat to eat and requested the bird not to kill the pigeon. The hunter bird refused to accept the king's offer, but it was later settled that the eagle would accept flesh from the body of the king of the pigeon's equivalent weight. The king began to cut flesh from his body to weigh in the balance equivalent to the weight of the pigeon. But the mystic pigeon always remained heavier. The king then put himself on the balance to equate with the pigeon, and the demigods were pleased with him. The king of heaven and the fire god disclosed their identity, and the king was blessed by them. Devarshi Narada also glorified Maharaj Shibhi for his great achievements, specifically in charity and protection. Maharaj Shibhi sacrificed his own son for the satisfaction of human beings in his kingdom. And thus child Parikshit was to become a second Shibhi in charity and protection. Doshyanti Bharata. There are many Bharats in history, of which Bharat, the brother of Lord Ram, Bharat, the son of King Rishab, and Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta, are very famous. And all these Bharats are historically known to the universe. This earth planet is known as Bharat, or Bharat Varsha, due to King Bharat, the son of Rishab. According to some, this land is known as Bharat, due to the reign of the son of Dushyanta. So far as we are convinced, this land's name, Bharat Varsha, was established from the reign of Bharat, the son of King Rishab. Before him, the land was known as Ilavati Varsha. But just after the coronation of Bharat, the son of Rishabha, this land became known as Bharat Varsha. But despite all this, Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta, was not less important. He is the son of the famous beauty Shakuntala. Maharaj Dushyanta fell in love with Shakuntala in the forest, and Bharat was conceived. After that, Maharaj forgot his wife Shakuntala by the curse of Kanva Muni, and the child Bharat was brought up in the forest by his mother. Even in his childhood, he was so powerful that he challenged the lions and elephants in the forest and would fight with them as little children play with cats and dogs. Because of the boys becoming so strong, more than the so-called modern Tarzan, the rishis in the forest called him Sarvadaman, or one who is able to control everyone. A full description of Maharaj Bharat is given in Mahabharata, Adi Parva. The Pandavas, or the Kurus, are sometimes addressed as Bharat due to being born in the dynasty of the famous Maharaj Bharat, the son of King Dushyanta. Maharaj Parikshit was born in a most extraordinary way. Every devotee of the Lord has the single-pointed desire, according to that devotee's purification, to glorify Krishna, to live in such a way that Krishna's mercy is broadcast in all directions. And the Supreme Lord, knowing his devotee's desire, arranges that devotee's life in such a way by his supreme power that through him Krishna's glorification is manifested to the world. Sometimes even Krishna puts his devotee in very difficult situations, dangers, crises, just to show the world the unflinching surrender of his devotee under all circumstances. And similarly, devotees very much welcome such difficulties just to show the world how Krishna always protects his devotee. Krishna has given his promise, Kon teya prati jane hina me bhakta pranashiti. Declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish. He explained this principle on the battlefield of Kurukshetra as he was speaking Bhagavad Gita. And during that battle, just days after he spoke, he proved to the world the authority and the truth of his words. Arjuna was often put in predicaments that were absolutely beyond his control to rescue himself. When he was fighting with Bhishma, Bhishma was so powerful, being the direct disciple of Parasuram and having the benedictions of the greatest of the demigods. He fought with Arjuna, and Arjuna was defeated. He was in utterly helpless condition. He was laying on the dirt of the ground. He had no means of protecting himself. At that time, Bhishma was just moments away from killing Arjuna. At that time, Krishna, Parthasarathi, broke his own promise that he would not lift a weapon or fight in this war. And he lifted the wheel of a chariot and attacked Bhishma with the wrath of fury in his eyes. Seeing Bhishma coming to him in this mood of complete faithfulness to his devotee, Bhishma, with great pleasure, surrendered his life at the feet of Parthasarathi Sri Krishna. And at the time when Bhishma was about to leave his body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was meditating on this beautiful form of Krishna, who was willing to risk everything. Krishna himself is willing to risk being criticized by the world for not keeping his own word, just to protect the word of his devotee. Krishna told Arjuna, you declare it that my devotee will never perish. And even if I have to break my own promise, I will keep yours. How Krishna protects his devotee when his devotee is in a helpless state. And how devotees are very happy to be put in helpless conditions, just so that they could deepen their own urgency to surrender to Krishna and just to show the world Krishna's glory. And later on the battlefield, in the battle with Jayadratha, who was part of the conspiracy to kill Abhimanyu, Arjuna had till sunset to kill him. He vowed that if I do not, I will enter fire. But it was impossible, because the entire Kuru dynasty, with all of their great, great warriors, exclusively assembled on the battlefield for one purpose only, and that was to protect Jayadratha. All of their millions of soldiers were assembled, and all of the greatest Maharathis had formations, and Jayadratha was way, way in the very back, so many miles beyond the vision of Arjuna, protected by millions. And he fought with such gallant enthusiasm for Krishna. But as the sun was setting, he was still long distance away. And Jayadratha was so much surrounded by great heroes that Arjuna had no chance. So Krishna, with his chakra, covered the sun. And when he covered the sun, everyone on the battlefield thought that the sun had set. Arjuna was finished. So they all dropped their weapons and began to celebrate. Just at that time, Krishna told Arjuna, sever his head with a crescent-shaped arrow. And Arjuna surrendered to the word of Krishna, severed the head of Jayadratha. His head ultimately was sent to the Himalayas. And the warriors of the Kuru army could not believe that Arjuna would kill him after the sun was set. They were horrified. Such an injustice. At that very moment, Krishna removed his chakra, which was covering the sun, and everyone witnessed the sun had not set. And within seconds, the sun entered into the horizon. So Krishna loves to put his devotee in such helpless conditions. With our spiritual master, Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, Krishna also arranged to put him in such a helpless condition. Physically, he was powerless. Sitting on a boat in the middle of the ocean, alone with heart attacks. Then landing in a strange country, the country in which Maya is most powerfully equipped with her astras of illusion. Over 200 million soldiers of Maya, all armed with the most formidable weapons of the illusory energy in the forms of the objects of the senses, and so many incredibly sophisticated philosophies, scientific theories, which are meant only to defeat the principle of devotion. And he was alone, surrounded on all sides. And not only that, but of the 220 million people that were in America at that time, all these soldiers of Maya, he was in New York City, which is the very capital of all the powers of material energy. He was just one out of the 8 million people in New York City at the time, all desperately chasing after sinful activities. He was one gentle little sadhu with pointed white shoes, just roaming from place to place in the ghetto. Helpless condition. But Krishna likes to put his devotee in helpless position. Just to show the determination and the devotion of that devotee, and to fulfill the desire of the devotee, because the devotee's desire is that through his life Krishna is glorified. So Srila Prabhupada, because of his great love, attracted Krishna to fulfill his innermost desire. By his life, Krishna revealed to the world how he always protects his devotee, how through his devotee Krishna is glorified for the benefit, the enlightenment of all living beings. This is the natural exchange of love. Krishna wants to glorify the devotee, and the devotee wants to glorify Krishna, and in the end both desires are fulfilled for the benefit of all living beings. So Maharaj Parikshit, he was the son of Abhimanyu, who gave his life in the service of the Lord in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Abhimanyu, the father of Parikshit Maharaj, he understood that he had a particular power that was the only hope to rescue the Pandavas from defeat at the hands of the Kurus. And he understood that Krishna wanted this war to be won by the Pandavas. And he knew by entering into that formation, he was risking his life, and there was hardly a chance that he would come out alive. But he did not mind death. He did not mind any inconvenience. He was willing to give his life to fight this battle for Krishna. Guru Maharaj was of the same consciousness. At all risks, he would continue his preaching. When he was in Vrindavan, and he was in his last stage of earthly pastimes, he was not able to walk. He had to be carried. He couldn't even sit up hardly without help. His body was emaciated, thin, and he told the devotees, "Take me to London." The devotees invited him to come to London. Bhaktivedanta Manor. And devotees they couldn't believe he wanted to do this. His doctors were telling him he is crazy. But he went to London. In fact, one of our devotees' relatives was his doctor in London. We met him. During a marriage ceremony a few months ago. So when they told Srila Prabhupada, "You cannot do this, you will die," his reply was, that is a glory of my life, if I can die on the battlefield fighting Maya for Krishna." He didn't mind. In the same way, Abhimanyu entered into the forces of the Kurus. And it was his glory that he gave his life. So the son of Abhimanyu, the grandson of Arjuna, was Parikshit Maharaj. A soul who was obviously an exalted devotee previous to his conception in the womb. A soul who was coming to this world only to glorify Krishna. So Krishna, from that very time in his womb, wanted to both increase his ecstasy of helpless dependence on Krishna and also fulfill his desire. So Ashwatthama threw the Brahmastra at Maharaj Parikshit, and Uttara, his loving, caring mother, cried out, "Krishna, save my child. I can do nothing. My child can do nothing. Who is more helpless than the embryo in the womb? The embryo is completely 100% dependent on the kindness of his mother for everything. Cannot breathe without his mother. Cannot eat without his mother. Cannot exist without the kindness of his mother." But Uttara, she was a true mother. She understood that whatever she could give her child was coming from Krishna. And ultimately, she could not protect her child, even for a moment, without the help of Krishna. So she cried out to Krishna. This is the perfection of motherhood, to be in the mood of Uttara at all times, in all circumstances, in relationship to one's child. To always be trying to invoke Krishna's mercy upon that child. Knowing that none of your endeavors can in any way be of any benefit without Krishna. So she cried out for Krishna, and Krishna, in answer to her prayer, as well as the prayer of the child in the womb, appeared within the womb and gave his darshan to the child and destroyed the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. Just to once again reconfirm the promise of Arjuna that Krishna will always protect his devotee, and to fulfill Parikshit Maharaj's desire, who took birth to glorify Krishna in the world. So after Maharaj Parikshit was born, the learned Brahmins came to prophesize the future of this newborn child. In those days, at the very beginning of the Kali Yuga, in fact, at this time, Kali had practically no influence. It was only after Parikshit Maharaj left the world that the influence of Kali really came into being. So, Brahmins, because they were pure, because they had very, very perfect sadhana and exemplary characteristics in their life, they were very much empowered with vision, where they could, through astrology and so forth, they could actually see into the future. These days, we have all experienced that sometimes astrologers are not correct. Sometimes they do not agree with each other. Because actually, in order to perfectly perform the science of astrology, you have to be a perfect Brahmin. And in Kali Yuga, it's very rare to find perfect Brahmins. Their sadhana is not good. Their example in life is not very good. They have lost their powers. But these Brahmins, whatever they said, would definitely come true. And they are explaining what this King Parikshit will be in the future, what type of glorious child he will be. They're explaining in this verse today the most important munificent characteristic of a leader, and that is that he is charitable and protector of the surrendered. And they are comparing him to Maharaj Shibhi. If the politicians of today would model their lives in a way that they were aspiring to be Maharaj Shibhi, this world would be a very, very different place than we know it now. Because these days, politicians, just to get a position, they're willing to be merciless and cruel toward anyone who gets in their way. They're willing to lie. They're willing to cheat. They're willing to trample on their opponents and their opposition. They're willing to compromise so many principles just to get money from their supporters. Because they want the glory, the fame, the sense gratification of being king. But Maharaj Shibhi was just exactly the opposite. Maharaj Shibhi was not attached to being king. He was attached to the service that the king was meant to render to society. And that service is very difficult. To be willing to sacrifice your life, even for the most insignificant citizen of your kingdom. How many are willing to do that today? We read the glories of Lord Sri Ramchandra. Even when a low-class man was heard criticizing his relationship with Sita, he performed an activity which was the most painful, to banish his own wife to the forest, just so that he would be a proper exemplary king for the people to follow. Srila Prabhupada is here telling the story of Maharaj Shibhi. How a pigeon. Pigeons are generally considered quite useless. Nobody cares about them. In most major cities, so many millions of pigeons. Just yesterday, I was in London, and in London, you go and there's millions and millions of pigeons just crowded on the streets. People don't know what to do with all these pigeons. And what do pigeons do? Generally, they pass stool everywhere, all over the buildings, all over the sidewalks, all over the statues. Srila Prabhupada used to say that this is the way people glorify their leaders. They make big statues of them, just so the pigeons can come and pass stool on their heads. And then they're worshipped as they come once a year on the appearance day with the municipal street cleaning broom. And they somehow or other scrape all the stool from the face of their leader. And then they put a garland on him. And then everybody says, Jai, Jai, Jai. And they give all speeches and talk about what a great man he is and how they're all his servants. And then they all leave that place for the pigeons. One day a year they put a garland and talk his glories, and 364 days
One day they're offering flowers, and the rest of the days the pigeons are offering stew. This is not worship. Anyways, so many millions and millions of pigeons doing their natural functions. So one such pigeon came and sat on Maharaj Shippi's leg and told him that an eagle is coming to eat me. Please rescue me. I am your citizen, Praja. I am one of your children. You are the father of this whole world, and I'm a citizen, and I've come seeking protection from you. This is a quality of nobility, that if one seeks protection or surrenders to someone, that that person should be willing to give his life or risk anything to give protection. So Maharaj Shibhi, he said, yes, I will protect you. And then the eagle came and said, give me this pigeon. I want to eat him, drink his blood. And Maharaj Shibhi, that I am now protecting this pigeon. And the eagle said, but I am also your citizen. I am also taking shelter of you. I need food. Protect me. And my food is pigeons, flesh. So Maharaj Shibhi, I will cut the equal weight of that pigeon from my own body in flesh and give to you. So the eagle agreed, and they put the pigeon on a scale, and he started cutting his own flesh. But however much of the king's flesh was on the scale, the pigeon outweighed it. So ultimately Maharaj Shibhi sat on the scale with his whole body, and it was perfectly balanced weight. So he said, now eat me. If I die in the spirit of compassion to others, my life is perfect. If I live for any other principle, my life is a waste. So, at that time, the eagle revealed himself as Indra, and the pigeon is Agni, and the other demigods all came to show Maharaj Shibhi that they put him in such a difficult situation just to show his glory of compassion to the whole world. And he was honored. Such a devotee. And it is also described that he had a place in heaven for all of his wonderful deeds. And he understood that. But when Maharaj Yayati was in difficulty, Maharaj Shibhi told Yayati, who was his friend, you can have my place in heaven. This is the type of friend he was to his associates. What he gave his whole life through all these charitable acts, through all these compassionate acts, he risked everything. And sometimes we perform tapasyas and we undergo great difficulties, but we know we'll attain a certain destination in the end, and therefore we feel it's worth it. People perform great sacrifices to attain heavenly situations. They're willing to risk it to achieve that. But Maharaj Shibhi was so selfless, even after a lifetime of such sacrifice, the reward for everything he did, he was willing to give it to someone else. And ultimately, when he was given his choice, He chose to be the servant of Yamaraj. Rivo. Knowing that Yamaraj is a Mahabhagavat, he's one of the great Mahajans, such a wonderful transcendental devotee who has such a difficult service. I think of all services, his is one of the most difficult. Because Yamaraj is by nature so loving and compassionate. We saw this quality when he appeared in this world as Vidura. Such a gentle, loving devotee, well-wisher of all living beings. But in any administrative situation, there are so many services that have to be rendered, and devotees have to come forward to perform those services. Just like here in our temple, there are many services that just have to be done. Some services are very nice, like chanting and dancing and kirtan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class. But other services are difficult, like cooking in the summer season, over hot fires for festivals. It's very difficult. People do not understand and appreciate what the devotees are doing. When it's so burning hot outside and people are running to fans and air conditioners and everything else, these devotees on Sundays or other festival days, every day, they're standing on top of blazing hot fires all day long, stirring pots, cutting sabjis and so forth. And they're not getting paid anything. Some people, they will do it because they want money. But these devotees, they do it for nothing. They just want to serve. They risk so much. It's very difficult. Because those services have to be performed. Someone has to do it. So the devotees come forward and say, yes, I will do it. And those services which nobody likes to do, the devotee that comes forward to say, I will do it because it has to be done, those devotees attract a special attention from Krishna. And generally, those services are the least appreciated or glorified. Generally, such devotees remain unknown. But those who are sincere on the path of bhakti, they recognize the selfless attitude of the Vaishnavas. So, in the same way, Maharaj Shibi, or Yamaraj, I'm sorry, Yamaraj, he's such a devotee. In this material world, somebody has to torture all the sinners. Completely opposite the nature of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava wants to forgive everybody. But somebody has to do it. So Yamaraj accepts that position. And he associates with Yamadutas all day. And passes judgment of how people have to be terribly, terribly tortured for long durations of time for their sinful activities. So Maharaj Shibi became the servant of the servant of such a great personality. Such a selfless life. Such a charitable disposition. Such surrender. And in this way, it was proclaimed that Maharaj Parikshit would have this quality. And he would expand the name and fame of his family like Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta.
and Shakuntala, who was so powerful, so heroic. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the descendant of Maharaj Bharat, the son of Dushyanta. So the fame of this great soul was even being glorified by Krishna himself. And even such great personalities as Arjuna and Yudhisthira were being glorified because of their relationship as a descendant of Maharaj Bharat. So in this way, all these benedictions were being offered to Maharaj Parikshit. And Maharaj Parikshit, he accepted. Of course, he was a baby at the time, just a newborn infant. But he accepted the role of the unalloyed devotee of the Lord throughout every stage of his life. From his childhood, he was always worshipping the deity and offering nice devotion to the deities. Throughout his career as king, he was always faithful to the Brahmins, servant of the Vaishnavas, and he left this world as the humble servant of Shukadev Goswami, surrendered at his lotus feet, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Today is the appearance day of Lord Balaram, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This evening at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, we will be having a wonderful festival in celebration of the appearance of Lord Balaram. It is a very, very important day. Balaramji is the original spiritual master. It is through this tattva, through this principle of Balaram's infinite mercy, that Krishna's glories are being broadcast both in the material and spiritual worlds through his representatives, the spiritual master and the great Vaishnava devotees. So we will discuss this evening the wonderful glories of Lord Sri Balaramji. Srila Prabhupada explained to us that devotees should pray to Balaram for spiritual strength. His name itself means one who takes great pleasure in divine feats of strength, Bala, Baladev. And in our daily lives, trying to be proper Vaishnavas, we are constantly situated on a battlefield where there is opposition coming from within our hearts and our minds and without in the form of this entire society, what to speak of our own senses. And somehow or other, we are outnumbered on all sides, but we must continue this great pursuit of devotional service. And without the strength of the Lord, we can do nothing. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vamye papadyante mayame tatranti. Material energy is all powerful. We have no hope
to overcome the temptations. Therefore, we must pray to Lord Balaram, because he gives spiritual strength. He gives the power by which we can control our mind, control our senses. He is the one who gives us the strength and power by which we can engage in devotional activities. And the spiritual master is the representative of Balaram. Lord Baladev's powers to protect us are coming through the spiritual master and through the entire disciplic succession of spiritual masters. So today we honor the source of all of that protection, the source of that compassion, the source of all of the spiritual strength required at every moment for our spiritual sustenance and advancement, and that is Lord Balaram, who in Krishna's eternal lila in Goloka is eternally appearing as Krishna's elder brother. Beautiful, beautiful complexion, like a newly formed spring cloud, pure white, and who appears in the avatar eternally in the Vaikuntha planet of Ayodhya along with Lord Ramchandra as Lakshman, and who eternally resides on the right side of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu as Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Nitai Padakamala Koti Chandra Shushitala. One cannot approach Krishna without the mercy of Balaram. One cannot approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. This is the eternal principle of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. The spiritual master is the representative of this tattva. So on this day of Balaramji's appearance day, we understand and glorify the source of all spiritual strength and mercy. And tonight we will come together to chant, to dance, to hear wonderful glories of Sri Baladev, and to together glorify him by honoring his feast of Mahaprasad. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Today we are going to Mira Road because Lord Balaram is being installed along with his brother Jagannath and sister Subhadra. So if anyone would like to go, please go. At about 9:30, Giriraj Maharaj and myself will be going to this auspicious event. As you all know, the Sri Chaitanya Medical Mission, better known as Hare Krishna Medicos. All of our wonderful devotees in this service are building hospital. And just across the street is this wonderful temple. I do not know if all of you know the story of how this came to be. The devotees from the Hare Krishna Medical Association were searching for land to build this wonderful hospital where they could all serve Srila Prabhupada together. For over a year, they were searching so many places. At one time, they were going to set up their hospital way, way far away. What was that place? whatever, very far away. Anyways, they were searching every part of Bombay and outskirts and even beyond outskirts. And somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, after exhaustive searches, it came to be that one Mr. Dalmia, who was Rohini Nandan Prabhu's associate, was willing to donate land, beautiful land, at this place called Mira Road. And devotees were against this place. They thought it was not a good place. But somehow or other they were convinced that we should take this land. And it was secured and everything was very auspicious. Meanwhile, the ISKCON temple in Bayingdar were thinking that they should build another temple for their deities. So they spent years searching for a proper place. And they finally found a place and they purchased it. Now at the time, we were not ISKCON. So we did not know what they were doing and they did not know what we were doing. That's the way the world is. So when we finally came back into ISKCON, we reunited as one big international family. We discovered that the place that they're building, their beautiful, beautiful temple for Radha and Krishna, is right across the street from the land that we have for the hospital. Rivo! So these things do not happen by chance. Besides Krishna and Balaram, nobody knew what was happening. They just move us like pawns on a chessboard. We don't know where they're moving, but they move with some strategy in mind. So they are the devotees in Bayingdar and the devotees at Mira Road are all coming together because Bayingdar is soon to move to Mira Road. And it will be very convenient. You cross the street and you will be in a beautiful temple of Radha and Krishna. What is Radha Giridhari? So this temple is going to be very, very wonderful. But they've set up a temporary temple while the other one will be built. And today they are installing the deities of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. So we will go to offer our respectful obeisances to Lord Baladev on this auspicious occasion. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Balaram ji ki.